Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me today, Dr. Dave Stoop, and we'll take your phone calls. It's once again a great day for New Life, and at least we think so.
Thank you. That's exactly what I needed to hear.
I went through her room. I found bottles of alcohol under her bed and in her closet.
I went in and loaded my pistol, and I sat down in the office, and I just started contemplating everything I've been through.
You know, the Bible does say honor your parents, and the New Testament tells us specifically a lot of ways to do that. But it doesn't say obey them. It says very specifically, for example, in Ephesians, children, obey your parents. Everybody's to honor your parents, but if you are an adult and you are obeying your parents, then you have not graduated yet.
You're not an adult.
You're not an adult yet. And the New Testament is oh so clear about that.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. And Dave, those watching on television know that you've got one of these great Hawaiian shirts. You really love Hawaii, don't you?
Well, I can't live there, so I can at least pretend by wearing Hawaiian shirts all summer.
Yeah.
It's all I wear.
If you could retire, would you retire there or not?
I don't think so.
No?
I thought about it, but I think, you know, of course my wife wouldn't allow it because our kids
grandchildren aren't there.
Yeah,
right. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today, and thanks to all of you for joining me. Let's go to Brandon from Jasper, Texas. KWRD is the station. Hello, Brandon.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
How can we help you today?
I have a question. I have a fiance, and we've been together for several years, and but we separated for a little while, and she got on drugs so bad, we had children together.
Yeah.
And I've been struggling with trying to get her to quit, and she doesn't, one day she'll want to quit, and she'll say, yeah, I don't want to do it anymore.
Well, she's an addict. That's what addicts do. You know, the awareness that she's got a problem is there, and the desire for it to be different is there, but there's no willingness, see? You've got to be willing to submit to the process that gets you clean and sober. But she's not there, and you're enabling her to not be there.
Well, what can I do to help her?
Well, first, you should start going to Al-Anon.
Mm-hmm. Well, or going to speaker meetings, AA speaker meetings.
And then take her to recovery speaker meetings.
Okay.
Have you thought about that?
I'm sure about going to NA, Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay. All right. That'd be great.
Go with her. Don't just talk about it. Say, let's go. We're going to go, and I'm going to go with you.
I've even tried to get her into church. She doesn't believe you have to go to church, and I've kind of gotten to a point where I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, I think in these situations where there's this stubborn resistance, you have to go get in a car, get out of the house, and go do something helpful or redemptive, like a recovery program for you, like Al-Anon, that you can't just plead and do nothing. You've got to say, I've got to do something different with my life here if I'm going to have an impact on her.
Because it won't fix itself, Brandon. And as much as she wants to and desires to do it, she's got to do the work to do it, and that's where she falls short. And because she doesn't really understand, and you don't understand how powerful that addiction is, because she'll destroy her life rather than do the necessary steps if just kind of left alone.
Okay. All right, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I hope it'll help you. Maybe you can read some of the insights that are in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to her, especially if she's saying, I don't want to go to church. Well, everybody has a spiritual part that needs to be addressed, and maybe that Bible would be a link to her getting involved in church. very, very sad, and sad for the children that you guys.
Oh, wow,
so you
yeah.
want to do the tough thing, and maybe that starts with you getting help. We'll be back right after this.
I've been struggling since I was probably in my mid-20s.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I honestly felt like I was on an island all by myself, and I was the only one in the world that was like this, you mm-hmm. know, and why did God create me like this?
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
When I went to Every Man's Battle right from the very beginning, I realized that this is every man's battle, not just my battle.
Yeah. Become the man you want to be, the husband your wife needs you to be, the father your children can look up to.
Every Man's Battle explains to you why you are like you are, and they give you the tools, and they teach you the scriptures, and they show you how to work your way through the problems, and where to get help, and how to get help, and who to get help through.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Don't wait. Just go ahead and go, and it'll make a huge difference in your life and your family's life.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn with Dr. Dave Stoop. And let's go right over here to Chris Pasco, Washington, KCSH. Hi, Chris. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Excellent. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I'm trying to get a little help and a little advice on how to deal with my dad.
Okay.
Is usually quite negative in the way when I'm trying to talk to him and trying to connect with him.
Okay. What's he negative about?
I don't
about?
Know exactly. My name is Chris.
Yeah, what's he negative about?
Oh, he's negative about all kinds of things. In general, here a few months ago, just before you guys were up here in Bothell,
in Bothell.
Yeah, I saw you over there in Bothell.
Thanks.
And he had found out from my girlfriend at the time, fiance, that I had a problem with pornography.
Okay.
Pornography.
All right.
And when he found out about it, he just got really mean, really angry about it, and every time I've tried to talk to him about it, he just continues to be. He's very mean about it.
All right, let me ask you this. What have you done about the pornography that he is so enraged about? What have you done about it?
What have I done about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing I have done, I haven't gone to an Every Man's Battle workshop yet, and I'm trying to go to one. I want to see when. I was talking to a guy yesterday about that, wanting to find out when the next one's going to be.
Okay.
Because I have some money put away for it.
Tell him that. Tell him in an email, a text, or phone call. Say, Dad, I know you're upset about this pornography problem. Here's what I'm doing. I'm going to go to that workshop. I'm signed up. I'm saving the money. I just want you to know I'm not just going to live with this thing and let it get worse. I'm going to do something about it.
Okay.
Do you get what he's saying to you? What Steve is suggesting is put it out on the table. Call him on what he's doing in terms of his negativity and anger, and saying, and then tell him what you're going to do to solve the problem. Just put it out on the table with him. Do it by an email or a phone message or something. But don't. Are you afraid of his anger?
Well, at times I am, because he that he likes to get very physical with me, and the reason for that is because he realizes he realizes that when he was that it's very easy to intimidate me because I am physically much smaller than he is.
Okay.
In that aspect
so
of it.
Maybe you don't see him until you've been to the workshop.
Or you just do it by email.
Yeah, I mean, you should call him or email or text him, but maybe you're not in his presence until you've gone to the workshop. So he has nothing to be angry about.
Well, but it sounds like he's angry anyway. So one of the things I would do, Chris, is I would say to him, you know, your anger can be pretty intimidating. And
oh, that's good.
And to me, and so it makes it hard for me to be around you or to talk to you. So I'm just going to let you know what I'm doing via texting or email until I, you know, feel stronger about how to deal with you. I mean, let him know that, but not face to face because that's too intimidating.
Yeah.
Let him know that through some kind of texting or email. I'm glad he does that so that he does email so you can communicate that way.
Do you have the book, Every Man's Battle?
I do. I do have the book, and I also have the audio set.
Okay, good.
Which I'm going to go back. I'm going to go through it again. I went through it a couple times after you signed that for me and gave that to me at the up there in Bothell. I went through it. By listening to it on CD and also by reading the book.
Let me send you a recovery Bible that'll help you.
A recovery Bible?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because to recover from this, there are some proven steps that we've got in that Bible, and it really will minister to you. Every note in there is directed to you. So hold on. We'll get that to you. I want to read something. You know, we were just talking about Every Man's Battle. Here's what one of our wonderful Jeff, who handles our phones, here's a letter he got from somebody that he encouraged to go to Every Man's Battle a few months ago. What a weekend. I prayed before I went that the Lord would break what needed to be broken and heal what needed to be healed. By faith, I believe he did that. For the first time in my life since early childhood, I feel clean. Not first time in his life
wow.
since childhood.
That's amazing.
God did something within me that I cannot express because I don't understand it. But I am a different man now than I was when I went there. Victories are small, but continuing. Retraining my mind and bringing every thought captive continues and will for the balance of my life as God is willing and I remain surrendered. I have no reluctance to send any man to the Every Man's Battle Workshop. Obviously, the sooner the better. It is essential that there be an internal desire to change for that individual or they will not benefit.
Wow.
As much. So there's a guy who went, he's out there living a different life. And, you know, if you're tired of being a bad little boy and doing stuff behind mommy's back and you're 55, why don't you...
And mommy's your wife.
Yeah, and mommy's the wife. Why don't you call us and let us help you? 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number.
You know, there's a principle that you just unwittingly described.
Unwittingly, wow.
Yeah, you know that when you're into pornography and you're into a secret life like that, you're still a little boy.
Yeah,
and then your wife becomes a mommy that you try to hide it from. It changes your marriage relationship.
A mommy
completely.
In a police uniform.
Yeah. So get with it and finish growing up.
All right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, if you want more information. Let's go to Diane from Boston, Massachusetts, WEZE. Hello, Diane. Welcome.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call. It's funny, I just got out of my car. I said, oh, well, maybe they're not going to get to me just yet. I'm getting back in.
Here we are.
Okay.
Thanks for holding.
Thank you so much. Okay, I'm calling. My question I'll give you first is I just don't know where else to go in this marriage. It just seems so hopeless to me. I called your show probably a year and a half ago because the situation was my husband and I got married after 3 months of being together, and unfortunately, within 6 months, I was triggered into a bipolar episode that pretty much my life crashed, tried to take my life. Didn't even know that I was still needing to be treated for bipolar because it happened 10 years ago. Anyways, during that 6 months together, my husband never worked. He smoked grass. He drank. And when I called you all, we were living apart, and I in the bound, and you told me to set, because basically he wanted me to come live at his parents' house.
I remember that call.
His parents are enablers, and I bounced back and forth, and the boundary that you suggested I set is that until he gets help for his, you know, issues, you know, just keep that boundary in place. So here we are, you know, a year and a half later, and still has not held a job for more than 3 months. As far as drinking and smoking, you know, we don't live together, so I don't trust him, and he will not be consistent with, I go to Celebrate Recovery, I really wanted him to come, you know, I really think that we should both be in therapy, he's done it, then he stopped.
Okay, all right, I think we get the picture. Now, what is the question for us? What's the question for us?
Oh, the question is, when do I get to a point where it's like, this can't be turned around. Like, today I am going to see my pastor, one of my pastors at the church who has worked with us through these few years. And I'm at a point where I actually told my husband, I said, you know, I can't be in this marriage anymore because it's not a marriage.
Yeah.
We do not live together. We haven't. We lived together for 6 months. October's 3 years that we got married.
Mm.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to manage my illness. I mean, and I'm doing a great job. I'm realizing more and more how, believe me, I had fault in this. I will accept my fault in this whole...
Well, you know, Diane...
Hold on, Diane.
One of the faults that you both did was get married after 3 months.
Absolutely.
But that's after the fact, so there's no point in rehearsing that.
Well,
to help others.
I'm just wondering if he would go to a weekend if we got somebody to give you guys a scholarship.
You know, when I was calling, I'm saying, I'm wondering if they're going to throw that to me. And you know what? At this point, I would do anything. I don't want my marriage to be over. I really don't. I mean, you know, God created marriage just forever, and you know, we've both been through a lot. So I mean, I will still work on this, but I can't work on it by myself.
No. It takes two.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it is time to see if he's willing to take some baby steps to making it better.
Time to fish or cut bait.
Yeah,
cutting bait.
Okay, so you want to find out, what are you willing to do to bring us back together in this marriage? Are you willing to talk to a pastor? Would that be something? Or would you talk to a counselor? Would you go to a healing workshop that could put it back together? Find out what he's willing to do. And then, if he's not willing to do anything, then maybe you set down a boundary and you say, don't call me until you're willing to put this marriage back together.
Mm-hmm.
And see what impact that has.
Yes. You know, okay, now everything you just said, okay, that has already transpired.
Okay.
He will not be consistent. He will, now that he's working, he just started a job a month ago. Now he's like, everything's taken care of. The problems are gone. Now that I'm working, that was really where the problem was, which it's not. I mean, it's just not.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, yes, I have a problem also with, you know, codependency. So I told him a month ago, Dave, I can't be in this marriage anymore. But, you know, me and my soft heart, I still want to make it healthy.
Sure.
Even if we're not going to stay married, still, let's not just shut each other out. So you're saying that I have to be strong and just say, listen, this is what is the picture, and if you're not going to take any steps, then, you know, I can't prevent this from happening, just we can't talk.
Your getting a job didn't cure the problems in our marriage.
Absolutely.
And if you're not willing to do anything for me, then I have nothing to say.
And then you cut off the relationship, the communication.
And you see, you don't do anything, but you just see if that has some kind of impact on him while you're getting to a codependency group and you're getting some counseling.
Yeah. Yeah, and thankfully, I mean, you know, like I said, I talked to you over a year and a half. I've been in treatment. I mean, it's great. I have to say that it works. If you do the work, it works.
Okay.
And that's why it saddens me to see. You know, I just got him the Life Recovery Bible. I don't even know if he opened it up. It's just. I just don't. You know, it's hard to understand.
Well, you're not living together, so you don't really know what's going on with him.
Right. And there's my whole trust issue. Like, I just don't know what's going on. This is
right.
You know, it's just.
Well, I'm very sorry that he's not responding, but again, I think doing something different, cutting off the communication, seeing if that has any impact, and then if it doesn't, then you go to the next step, and maybe before you walk out of that marriage, he turns around and says, I want this to work, and I'll do whatever I need to do.
Let's hope so.
Okay, so basically, I have to take a strong stand and just be a big girl. And
that's
just,
right.
Just that's it, Dad. You can't, like, keep trying to connect.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I mean, I've had friends tell me that.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Good. I'm glad you got friends
you
to help
friends
you.
Telling you the right thing.
All right. 7-Minute Marriage Solution.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. All right. We talked about the Marriage Solution Weekend. Here's some things people said about it. Please go. Please don't let the devil or yourself destroy your marriage. It's worth saving. Go for it. It's the most important investment you can make in your life. There's no downside, no reason to say no, no matter how bad your marriage is. Say yes to your mate. Say yes and go. Do it. It was so worthwhile. It can change your marriage and your life. Find a way and do it. It is worth it. The tools and love you'll leave with cannot be put into words. I was talking to somebody that went, and they said, I've already encouraged two other couples to go. So
that's great.
All right. Let's go to Connie. Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir. I have a friend that we're all in a prayer group together, which we've been in for like 8 years.
Okay, you've got a friend, prayer group, all right.
In the last 2 years, this one particular one is just, she interacts with all of us, and she's so greedy and rude and self-centered and...
Wow.
You know, it's like, and then we all get together, you know, then we talk to each other about this person, and it's like, well, I don't know what to do. And can you believe she did this or that? And
Who leads the group?
Pardon?
Who leads the group?
Nobody in particular. We just get together when we can.
Okay.
It's part of our work schedule, you know, and we meet at different not just one person's house.
So how about saying to the group, you know, guys, we really aren't doing the right thing by talking about her.
Exactly.
Rather than talking to her.
But I'm tossing it up in the air because she's been, before we all knew her, she was in some kind of suicidal depression. And we thought, well, if we tell her, she'll just kill herself.
I don't think you just kind of dump it on her.
Mm-mm. No, be careful.
You talked about her being in a suicidal depression, and you guys know that. I think, you know, sometimes people act out like that and become controlling, and that because of the pain they're in, and it's like a way to keep people away from themselves. So I would say you approach her more in the sense that, Mary, you know, we've been struggling with some of the ways that you act in the group, and we know that it's got to be a reflection of some deep hurt, some deep pain. How can we help you?
We don't feel like we're doing enough for you outside the group, and we want to do that so that things in the group are focused on everybody.
Yeah. And so you frame it in the context of, you know, how can we help you, and what is it you need from us that's going to help? There's got to be some deep, deep stuff that's hurting you, and then see what she says.
And you might go to her from that perspective by yourself.
Yeah.
And then if that doesn't have an effect, then the group. But I would really encourage the group to not talk about her.
Oh, yeah. See, mm-hmm. We're just like, I don't want to even hear about it.
Yeah.
You know, if something happens, well, you know, I don't want to hear about it.
Well, you know, the best thing to do then is when that starts is say, you know, we really should be praying for her.
Yeah,
not talking
right.
about
there
it.
You
can we
go.
Stop and just really take her before the Lord and ask God to give us wisdom and how to deal with her? That's what I would
do. Well, we
do
all do love her. It's not like our talk is like trying to... You know, it's like, and like we're shocked, like, can you believe she did that or said that? And, you know, she'd be really rude, you know? And I'm like, oops, I just don't want
to. That's because she's unconsciously pushing you away because she's afraid to let you see her hurt and her pain. Because she's not sure what you're going to do with it. So that's why if you go to her and say something about the hurt and the pain in a non-rejecting and supportive way, that may just break the ice and you'll be amazed at what God will do, especially if you pray about it before you do it.
Okay, because she's called me and she wants you, well, maybe we can get together. You know, a lot of times we have phone tag, trying to get play phone tag.
Okay.
And we finally talk with each other.
Yeah.
She wants to get together.
Well,
I'm thinking at my house.
Yeah, well, it if you get together, maybe that's when you nudge a little bit about really wanting to minister to her. So,
she's hurting.
Yeah.
And that's why she hurts others.
She's obviously reaching out to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Glad you called. I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice. I hope that's helpful to you. Let's go to Keith from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Mr. Keith. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? I don't got much time. Sorry to bother you guys.
You're no bother.
My phone's about to die.
Okay.
But, I just wanted to ask a quick question. I was listening to this guy the other day. Actually, today, but it was like maybe 2 weeks ago in your program.
Right.
He was saying like what people who believe in like Judaism or another religion, like they go to hell, and he couldn't understand why, you know. And obviously, you go back to Adam, you know, the fall of man. And ever since then, we all deserve eternal death, you know. And we have to be 100% righteous to get to heaven. And that's why we need Jesus Christ, his righteousness by faith, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, my question is, with regard to that view, you also mentioned how people don't hear about Jesus. That's unfair.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas people in our culture, they hear about Jesus. So those people who don't hear about Jesus, if they put their trust in creation or like the Muslim or the Buddhist religion or Judaism, they can, some evangelicals believe they can go to heaven without Jesus Christ. And they're preaching this, and it's called the Water Mercy Movement.
All right.
My question to you guys
gotta
is...
Got to take a break. We'll be back after this.
There's a common misconception in our society that divorce is the only option for a broken marriage.
A month before coming here, I went and saw a non-church-related counselor. The lady I talked to said, you need to be divorced by the end of the year.
Here at New Life, we believe the complete opposite. Your marriage can be repaired, no matter what you've gone through.
Everything, even the most devastating thing in your marriage, God can take and work it together for good.
Bring your troubles to New Life's Marriage Weekend. From October 11th through the 13th in Columbus, Ohio, New Life's group counselors will be working to help struggling couples across the country. And Steve Arterburn, Mylon and Kay Yurkovich, and Drs. Dave and Jan Stoop will be teaching you how to repair your marriage. To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I just want to say thank you. This weekend has been completely transformational.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
Okay, Keith, you did have a question there, so what was the question?
Yeah, I just have a quick question with regards to what people who take that view, you know, those who say you can get to heaven, people don't hear about Jesus, they put their trust in the Buddhist religion or the Judaism or creation itself without Jesus Christ, people say they can go to heaven. What's, would that be considered heresy? Would that be considered denying the gospel?
I think that would be heresy.
Yeah, because I don't think the Bible is clear on that.
Yeah.
You know, we read that passage from Romans 1, you know, about how those who don't go to heaven have been there's no excuse because they suppress the truth, and there is enough truth in creation to say that there is a God that's above us and beyond us. How God decides all that, it, the way I handle that is I don't know.
Me either. And it's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Understand one day.
And so I can't make a definitive statement like some people do, because there's things like the every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, and then there's narrow is the way and narrow is the gate and few there be that find it. So it's like you got both things said in the scripture, and you can't really come down and say this is the way it is for everybody.
Right.
We'll be surprised.
You hang on. I'll send you a copy of Being Christian. I hope you like it. I think it's a great book with some great truth in it. And let's talk with Yvette from Chicago, Illinois, WYLL. Hi, Yvette. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. What's going on?
I have a question about dealing with my parents. I'll just give you a little background. You know, I grew up in a controlling environment. You know, sexual abuse was allowed to take place by an uncle. You know, they were demanding. They have fits when they don't get their way. They weren't encouraging. You know, they didn't appreciate or don't appreciate what I do. And now that they're elderly and they have needs, you know, they expect me and or my children, who they never wanted to have them visit when they were younger come over, do this, do that. And they don't, they don't hear anything that they have done that, might be negative behavior, but they're quick to blame me or, tell me that I'm a horrible person. And I love them, but
they want you to help them, and they at the same time tell you you're a horrible person.
Well, not in those words, but they'll tell me I'm not honoring them. Like, for instance, if they say, I need to go to the store today. And I say, well, I can't go today, but I can go tomorrow. You need to go now. We have to have, then they go into these rages. And I think I do things more out of fear than, out of love. So then I'm, stressed because I'm not comfortable. I'm not happy.
Right.
I'm willing to help, but I need an environment.
Mom, Dad, I want you to know that I'm not going to respond to that kind of talk.
And if you can't not give that kind of talk, then you may have to make other arrangements, like calling a taxi.
But I am an adult. I deserve respect just like you do. And I want to help you. But I have a life, and I have commitments. I have a commitment to you, but I also have some other commitments. And I've got to do what's best. And I want the best for you. I just can't jump sometimes when you want me to jump. So you've got to set that boundary with them.
But they're now yelling and they will then hang up on me, then they won't speak.
So now
I don't call them back.
Yeah,
good.
Then they hang up and dismiss me.
Okay.
So I am growing and changing.
Good for you.
But I just need to continue to go in that right direction.
Yeah.
But it does bother me, because they're my parents.
You don't want
your parents, feel that way toward you. But, I can't do anything about
remember, Yvette, that honoring your parents means to honor what's honorable. And when they abuse you, that's not an honorable thing, and it doesn't need to be honored. So when, I would follow that up with an email or something that just says, when you treat me this way, I won't be talking to you for a while, because you've got to understand that I, like Steve was saying, I need to be respected as well. I'll try to respect you, but you have to respect me. And it may not work. You may get the abuse for a while because that's just the way they are. And then you just stay away from them until you have the time to do what you have to do.
Okay. Now, let me be controversial here, okay? Yvette, are you listening? Mm-hmm. What are their names?
I don't know if I want to say them all.
Well, let's just say that his name is Bob and her name is Betty, okay? Now, what do you call them? Mom and Dad?
Mom and Dad,
Well, if he disrespects you, you might want to say, rather than Dad, you might want to use his first name. Bob.
Don't talk to me like that.
I'm an adult. And Betty, I'm an adult, and you two need to see me as an adult, not as a child. And they get furious. Bob, Betty, I'm encouraging you to treat me like an adult.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do that?
Yeah, certainly. That would be easy.
Call them by their first name.
Sometimes. So shocks them.
It's a wake up.
That they actually start to see you as an adult.
That's an interesting concept, and I will certainly give that a try.
Now, if you don't.
It also helps you to see yourself as an adult.
Right. Now, if you don't say it to them out loud, start to think of them in terms of Bob and Betty versus Mom and Dad right before you call them.
All right.
I've got a problem with two adults that are demanding of me and treating me, and I've got to call Bob and Betty, and I've got to tell them that they can't do that to me. So you start to see them as a fellow adult, not Mommy and Daddy. Okay?
Okay.
Because seeing them as Mom and Dad keeps you the child in some way, so, and certainly in their viewpoint.
All right.
So go for it.
Well, thank you very much.
I'm going to send you Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves. Dave wrote that, and it's a good one. And if you'll hold on, we'll get that to you. Let's talk with George from Houston, Texas. Hi, George.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing all right. What's going on with you?
I'm a good person, you know what I'm saying? And it sucks that I can't be myself in front of my family.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm calling is because they tell me I'm a bad person and I've done a bad, I rose myself the wrong way because I practically raised myself.
Mm.
My mother and father was not around. He left when I was a very, very young baby. And I don't have much memory of him, but just two memories, but they're still not too good.
What did you do to survive? How did you make it into adulthood without a dad? What did you do?
Pretty much my grandparents, they helped me until they had passed on. And from when they had passed on, I was given to a stepfather, which he was not around that long either because my mother intervened. And when she had intervened and he gave me back to her, then when I stayed for her for like a 1 year, then at the age of 14, she kicked me out.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I just practically just lived on the street, surviving when I can, stealing just to be able to eat, you know. And I practically lived on the street. But the reason why I was calling, because like the family that I'm living with, they talk to me like I'm some kind of an animal, and it hurts too. So I start talking to them like that, because like in the book says, in the good book, it says, treat others like you want to be treated, you know. So I do the same thing, like, for everybody. So they sit there and they raise their voice a little bit at me. I raise my voice a little back at them. And they tell me, oh, why are you raising your voice? And I tell them the same thing. Well, why are you raising your voice at me? I'm a person just like you, you know.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
And they tell me, you rose yourself the wrong way, and
that's an interesting.
Back, you know,
that is,
a,
hey George,
off, you know?
George, that is an interesting concept of blaming somebody, your child, for raising themselves the wrong way. That is just bizarre. Now, do you have a specific question for us that we could answer for you?
Yeah, I just want to give you some. Just to show you that did I do a bad job or did I do a good job or do I need somebody who can help me, because I don't have parenting, you know. I don't have no kind of a father figure, mother figure, nothing like that in my life.
All right, hey, listen.
At all.
You hold on, and let's hear from one of the best dads I've ever met. We'll get some advice from Dave here, and maybe that will give you some insight on the way to go. But I'm really glad that you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we want to help you. We'll be back right after this.
First time I listened to the program, I was pretty much hooked just because of the honesty and compassion and caring that was given to the callers.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
It's just amazing to me the impact the ministry has had on people's lives.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and transformation. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I can't think of a better place. There's been times that my husband and I have talked about it when money maybe is a little tighter or whatever, and I thought, well, but it seems like I will turn on the radio and I will hear something. I'll think that's why I do it, because there's just so much out there. And the way it's handled is just awesome.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me.
because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Denham November 1st through the 3rd in Southern California. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we're talking with George, who really kind of had to raise himself, and now his parents are saying
it's not his parents. I mean, it's the people he's living with.
The people you're living with are saying you didn't do a good job of raising yourself, and that's just a bizarre concept.
George, I think you did a great job raising yourself. That's not an easy task for a kid to take care of himself. And with all of that rejection that you went through, that there's a lot of sadness in that. And I want to affirm that don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Yeah.
Are you in a church?
I have a hard time trying to find a church because they always seem to not call me. I'm sorry, right now, just I'm in pain right now.
Mm.
But can't help me out and ask me, how did I find Jesus? And I tell them my story. And I don't know if what I tell them scares them. So I just learned how to keep it to myself. And another thing, too, I told them about my past, how I fell into a wrong group of people in the streets, you know, because that was the only place I found love. But I figured out, hey, this is not love. They sit here, they tell you this, they tell you that. But when it comes to time when they sit and they fight against another group, you know, they leave you stranded by yourself.
Okay.
You know what I would find a church that has a Celebrate Recovery or a recovery ministry, a 12-step ministry, because usually people who have been in 12-step recovery are very understanding and accepting. The other thing, I would be careful in terms of how much of your story you share with people.
Yes.
Because I don't think that there's a lot of people that can understand it. And you've been through a lot of hurt, a lot of rejection. And then when you talk about that, it's almost like it's overwhelming to the listener, and then they end up doing the same thing to you. And so I would be careful in how much I share and how much I tell. I want to affirm you. I want to say, wow, you've done a great job. For you to be able to do what you do, live like you live, I don't know how I would have done that. And I just want you to know that I admire you for making it. Now we want to get you to go beyond that to another step, to where you do more than just make it. You really flourish. And I hope that people listening will pray for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that you will find that accepting group. That's what I have found. When I speak at recovery groups, I find the most accepting people that I run into are part of those groups. And so find something that there's a Christian recovery program near where you are. And if you stay on the line, we can maybe help you find that.
Right. You know, Dave, I think even if George would go to a church that has a men's ministry and ask to speak to the person, it could be a lay person or a pastor, who's in charge of the men's ministry. Mm-hmm. Could I meet with you? And he just says to them, I have a hard time being accepted in groups, and I just need some help. I need some direction, and could you kind of help me? Because I didn't have a dad, and didn't depend on him. I had to raise myself, and I just need some help.
And I wouldn't go beyond that in terms of that kind of information, and because that would be or even in a church that has a recovery program, and ask about the men's program and talk to somebody.
Right. Are there men's groups there? But to find that, you probably have to go to a pretty big church, mm-hmm. and I would just encourage it. You know, let me just take our final call here, a quick one. Bonnie from Chicago, WYLL. Hi, Bonnie. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
How can we help you?
Thank you for your program. I'm just starting to date again after being out of the dating world for a number of years.
All right.
I was in a long-term marriage that ended in divorce.
Okay.
Wow. And
how old are you?
65.
Okay.
I know I don't sound like it.
Nope.
No.
I'm very young looking and very young for
okay.
my age.
Well, we
good
don't have
you.
A lot of time, but is there a question we could answer
yes.
for you?
Yes. Is it all right to date more than one person at a time? I don't
you
mean
betcha.
The same day.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly is.
Even though you might like someone, and is it okay to check out other people?
Yes, yes, it is, as long as you're honest with the person and say, I really like you, but I have to really be around some other people.
Because I haven't been dating for a long time, and I need to just kind of get to know people, and you're at the top of my list, but I got a list.
My mentor said to me, you date 20 people before you decide on one person. Now, that might be a little much, but maybe
that's a bit much for me.
Maybe it's 5. Maybe it's 10. But you betcha. Don't apologize. Just say, and if a guy can't accept that, that's a problem.
That's a problem. There's a little bit of controlling issue there.
Let me send you, is this the one? I'll suggest a dating site. HisMatchForMe.com. It could really help you there. Well, Dave, we're about out of time. We've got our weekends, and I'll just remind everybody that September 13, 14, and 15 is the next Every Man's Battle, except for the one that starts tomorrow in San Jose. And it is not too late for you to get in. You could literally be a different human being. I mean that. By Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
By calling right now and saying, get me into the San Jose Every Man's Battle. Or get my husband. Can I get my husband? Check for scholarships. Whatever it takes, there's still 2 days. Don't wait till September in Nashville. Do it now. Go to San Jose. Pretty nice place to be in a recovery.
Sure is.
Women in the Battle comes up November. The Marriage Weekend and Healing is a Choice. Columbus, Ohio. Love being there in the Midwest. And that's going to be October 11, 12, and 13. We would love to help you. And if you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, we might have a book. We might have a New Life perspective on something like Dave and I did one on making restitution. That's just an example of one of the topics that we cover in the New Life perspectives. We might have a book, a CD, a perspective. We might be able to send you to one of our almost 1,000 counselors in our network around the country. I guess what I'm saying is there's no reason to stay where you are and live like you live if you want something better. But you have to be willing to pick up the phone and call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's a bold move. It takes courage. But it could be the most significant action of picking up a phone. That could be a life-saving action right there. Put it to your ear.
It's the first step in a life change.
That's right. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, the other thing, Steve, is they ought to go to the newlife.com website and see all of the things that are part of this ministry. A lot of times, I think people think the only thing we do are the radio and television programs.
Yeah.
And that's just the face of New Life.
Right.
There's so much more that goes on behind the scenes. And when we do these 25-year anniversaries with some of the videos, people get a real feel for the broad scope of what happens.
A lot of people don't know that we have operated the state-of-the-art eating disorder clinic, that Women of Faith was birthed out of this particular mm-hmm. ministry, that we acquired the Minrith Meyer ministry. A lot of people don't know about those things.
The history of it,
yeah.
And the call center is the one that really is, 24/7, there's somebody there to answer the phone.
Almost 24/7, someone is there to answer. You call, most likely someone will be there. And those are some of the most dedicated people you'll ever meet. And all they care about is trying to help you get the help that you need.
Well, so, please, to say all that, that's just an invitation to then sign up for Club New Life.
Yeah. Support us if you can. Club New Life's $25 a month in honor of our 25th anniversary. 25 years of God blessing this ministry. But we're listener-supported, and we need you to help us. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need help or you can help us. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.
Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.